Let them turn into the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, now read to you verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now this, our thinking is church growth through efficient Christian service, church growth through efficient Christian service. A portion of these two verses speaks about the church and the work of the church, and the description from here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, make it increase of the body and solidify it of itself in love. And this verse primarily has to do with the local church and how the church works and in the membership, and how we are all connected to Christ, and how each part working effectively help the church to grow and become healthy. So this is our thinking. So that's my concern from the verse, that how we are told that each part, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, how each part has played its role so that the whole body grows together, make it increase of the body, once the edifying of itself in love. This has to do with the local church and the growth of the local church, how when each member works and each member contribute their portion to the local church, how it comes up. But then there are many duties in the scriptures. I'm sure we know that the church, the scriptures, they are assigned to the members of a local church, so that it's called on us to always remind ourselves of these duties, and this is one of them we are thinking about, Christian service, the work of the church, the concern which it has to be to every one of us. And for each duty that we are, as believers in Christ and as a church, we have to do, for it to be effective, there must be faithfulness or honesty on the part of each member. But it's a duty to be done by the church, each local church. This has to do with each individual church of Jesus Christ, which form the entire body of Christ, but each local church is a body of Christ. And the text, as I've just given you a preview, the text describes the interconnection which must exist among members of a local church, and linking this interconnection shows that interdependence on each other, and this one goes up and then it rests on Christ, who is the head of the church. And that's because this interconnection among our membership all draw sustenance from him. Gifts and graces come from Christ, who is our head. And we use these gifts and graces to the support of each other, to build up the church, to undertake the work of the church. And yet, all goes up to him. Both the strength from him and the glory goes back to him. And how each member's effectiveness in this service is what this verse is speaking to us. Effectual working, that's the term. Effectual working. Working effectively, that part of the verse 15. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Effectual working. It has to do with that effective work of each member, and this contributes to the health and the prosperity of the local church. You see, each one working effectively, and the language of Apostle Paul here is illustration which in the way he compares the local church to the human body, and how each part works in harmony and efficiently with each other in order to bring health and growth to the whole body. And in fact, I'll go back a little. I just want to make a I'll go to verse 7. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." To every one of us, still referring to this body of believers, and from the verse 1, it speaks about how Christ has received gifts for the church, for the work of the church. And he mentioned the various offices in the church, verse 11. And then he mentioned verse 12 that for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that all the gifts and graces are to help the church to grow. And how the church will grow depends on how it is used and how effectively these gifts and graces are used for the church. And then he, in this part of the verse, he verse 16, particularly, he compares it to that human, like the human body, and you know the how the human body works. Though there are different parts, and yet all of them form the human body. None of the parts, I mean, the body can say, or maybe the hand or the leg can say, "I will not function. Now today I will not work." Then what happens to the body? Or the feet will say, "I will not walk." What happens to the body? The ears, "I will not listen." Or the mouth, "I will not speak." What happens to the body? But then when all the parts work together, then the body is healthy, the body is strong, the body is able to grow and do. Because if the mouth do not take in food, the body cannot eat. How can it grow? It can do everything. But then, if each part, as apostle, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, in proportion, every part of the body works, and then he says that it makes increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It brings such growth, it brings such effectiveness. And I'm sure we know how these days many churches think of church growth, and their concern mostly is about how probably more members come into the church. That's that one aspect. But the most important part is those who are the members, how they work effectively so that the church itself stands. In the spiritual matters, and the church itself had that kind of life in it, so that whether it becomes like the members become larger or not, the few of the members ought to be effective. And there will be a mighty blessing on that church which really works effectively, each member committing themselves to the work, and that we are all concerned for the things of the Lord. It's a mighty blessing in the work of the church. And moreover, we should also know that the work of the church is the duty of all members. As for Swab, just a caption for us, the members of the human body, all that the body has to do is a concern for each part of the body. All the members of the body, always the term is according to the effectual working. Okay, let me go back again. This is from whom the whole body fitly joined together, referring to Christ, as we are, we all noted, compacted by that which every joint supplies. And if that word compacted, so it's like we are cemented to him by that which every joint supplies. And this compact, as we are cemented together, it is able to be in that state when every joint supply accordingly, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. You see, we are all cemented, we are all like we have been joined together. And so that the picture, these pictures, the local church very beautifully. So that in the local church, that kind of harmony and kind of, how can you put two materials together if they are not able to be compatible, you see? So that the picture of the local church has to be that the membership are together, joined in that sense, so that everything is moving on smoothly in the church. But we know that often churches, along the lines, churches don't tend to be like that, but that is how churches ought to be at all times. If the church will grow, will have that blessing upon it. So, as I said, looking at the picture Paul Spoh gives us, it tells us that the work of the church is for all the members. It is true, we have officers, we have a pastor, elders, deacons, and they all have their duties, but each member also has something to do. So that if the church will function well and also grow, each member must be willing to take their share. That's the picture we are given, as the Apostle Paul gives us this picture. If the church will grow, each one of us must take our share of the church work. And again, if we are not willing to labor for the Lord, then we don't even need to be part of His church. That is what it is. If a part of the body, maybe any part of the human body doesn't want to function, then why God gave them each part of the body specific function to play? And so it must what? If it is part of the body, it has to do its work for the body to function. So that the same way in comparing to local church, if we are not willing to labor for the Lord, we don't need to be part of that church, you see. Because there's a mandate for the church to be working. That is how the Lord has made His church. And that we ought to, join the church or being part of the church should be our greater burden, because the church is the highest place we can join ourselves to, the most honored place. The hymn we sang, I think hymn 84, see how it pictures the church, the place of the gathering of believers, how it pictures such a place, how honored is the place. Well, let me just read it to you. In hymn 84, so that place, that in the whole version, one says that how honored, how dear that sacred abode where Christians draw near. That's a picture of the church, you see, where Christians draw near their Father and God amid all the commotion, my weary soul faint for the house of devotion, the home of thy saints. So it pictures how the church should be, so that the church should be a place where Christians come together for that fellowship and worship, where their greatest joy must be, the place that their greatest joy must be, because in the whole world, where do the Christian really derive his happiness? The entire world, looking at all the things that goes on in our personal lives and all that, where do we derive our greatest joy? From the things of the Lord. The Christian, but the true believer derives from the sense of the Lord. And then from where do we find in the church? We may have our personal devotions and all that, but no, the Lord has made it that His church must be the place that believers must draw all their comfort from. And again, when we think of the work for the church, we ask ourselves, even how many hours in the week do we give ourselves to the work of the church? Even if it's a fellowship meeting, how many hours do we meet? And if it's something to be done, how many hours do we? Few hours. All the if we divide the week by the number of time we come to church or we have to do something for the Lord, it's something small. You see, so the work of the church has to be upon our heart, and there are many ministries the church must undertake for Christ. The church exists to represent Him and to also represent His interests. So the church has many ministries to undertake, and the most important part is reaching out to the lost with the gospel. That must be the focus, the main thing. And as we in this church, we have our weekly evangelism, we also have our children ministry, literature and online, and other effort to reach out. And this is a mandate for the church, to reach out to the lost and to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. And as a church, we also have the plan of planting churches and supporting others. That is the work of the church. You see, it has to be the thing that we look up to all the time. And also, as we reach out to the lost, we also think of building other churches. Starting new work and starting new places where people have access to the truth of God. So these are the things the church has to undertake. And each member, and many others, we know we have many others, and each one of the church has to be concerned for these things, you see. That is the core business of the church. Beyond that, the church has nothing to do. That's the core business. You see how nowadays people have turned church into many money-making machine and place of concert? No, the church has a work to do. And this is the work, the main work of the church. And we remember the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that was his chief business when he was on earth. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 49, he was always about his father's business. And that is what we are also to be. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 49. Okay? I'll just tell you of the whole thing. I think that was when his, they went to Jerusalem for population census, and they were returning, and his parents couldn't find him. So they returned back, they searched for him for some days, they came back to Jerusalem. And what did they find? They find him in a temple. And he was discussing the word of God, the scribes in the temple. And when they find him, they thought, oh, where has he been? He said that he must be about his father's business. And what is it? To make the truth known. You see, his father's business is to make the truth known. And as his church, that is our business, to make the truth known and to build ourselves and to give ourselves to the things that make the things of the Lord known to the world. And that is our chief business. If we take this out, the church has nothing to do. The chief business of the church, how we ought to work together, as Apostle has pictured it, all is for this. While we edify ourselves, we give ourselves to the service of Christ, to promote his name and to promote his glory. And that is what we give ourselves to as a church, and each individual member of the church must also give himself or herself to, if the church will be the church that will honor the Lord and also represent him on earth as we seek to do. And as I said, mostly the work of the church or the Christian sect has to do with making known of the truth and to promotion of the truth of God, and that each member has to be part. But there are many blessings of Christian service. The work of the church, we are not just to give ourselves to, we are not just to labor, but there's so much blessing to us for individual believers and as well as the church as a whole. So my first thing is that we are looking at the when we look at the blessings of the Christian service, the first is that it strengthens believers' faith and joy. There's a strengthening of faith and joy when we give ourselves to Christian service, to the things of the Lord. And often members who are faithful to the work of the church grow in faith and spiritual joy. And confidence in the Lord and happiness derived from the truth about the Lord always grows with those who give themselves to the service of Christ. And how does this happen? As you know, believers, the more we witness God's faithfulness and power, this enables us to trust him more and to rejoice in him more. And as a church, as we see the Lord's faithfulness and also his power enabling us with the gifts and graces we need to serve him in the various ministries that we have as a church, this brings to us that it makes us be more confident in him. Because how do we taste and how do we test how the Lord, the truth of the Lord, really working? Except to give ourselves to his commands, and we give ourselves to what he has told us to do. And the more we do it and we see how he supports us to be able to do, then we realize his help for us. This encourages our faith to trust him more for even greater things, and also to rejoice in the things which he has been doing with us. And again, as I said, our strength even for this work comes from him. The gifts and graces come from him. And the more we give ourselves to this, our faith grows, our joy also grows. So as we witness the helps of the Lord, this increases the faith and joy of believers. Even in the Old Testament, Psalm 63 says that, because thou hast been my help, Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And that is one of the testimony of believers. How do we continue to trust in the Lord? Because the Lord has always been our helpers. Remember David as a shepherd boy going to fight Goliath. What did he say? I can remember when the bear came to attack the Lord, I was able to overcome it. I remember when the lion came, and you will be one of them. See? Not that he's a lion, but he knows that by the help of the Lord, he said we'll be able to. He recollected what the Lord has done with it. So, ourselves, when we get into the work of the church, and we ourselves have been, we receive the grace and the gift to be able to do all that we're able to do. We see how the Lord sustaining us. Just build our faith. You see, it's one of the means the Lord has put there to build our faith. You see, how do we experience faith? How do we experience growth of faith? It's one of the means when we give ourselves to the things of the Lord, His church, and then we witness how He supports us to be able to labor for Him. You see, so as the psalmist starts to the psalmist, because that has been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. You see how you connect the help of the Lord, and also this rejoicing means that you continue to trust in the Lord. The shadow of thy wings, he will make him his refuge, you see. He will be a covert for him. He will be willing to throw himself to him more and more, and then to be rejoicing to him. You see how faith grows, because the Lord has helped us, we'll be able to rejoice in him. How do we taste the help of the Lord? Yes, I know individually, in our prayer life, we have requests to the Lord helping us. We are able to rejoice. I know when we have tasted that the Lord has really helped us to serve Him, and to that from that we are able to trust in Him more. That kind of growth is more solid and firm because we are working for Him. Moreover, faith, as I'm talking here, I'm talking about it about the strength of faith of believers. Faith is a working grace. You see. Faith is a working grace. Faith is not an idol or something. It's not like something. It's a working grace. As James told us, that faith without works is dead. Faith that do not exert itself to exploit is dead. So that if I have to have faith in the Lord, it's true. Serving faith, I come to the Lord and trust in Him and rest my hope of salvation in Him on what He has done on the cross of Calvary. But if I am saved, then this faith in the Lord will have to exert itself in all that I'll do. So faith is a working faith. Faith works. And faith is always working if our faith is genuine. Faith will always take itself to do something. Look at the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Each one of them, how do we have a record of their faith? Because something they did. Though faith does not depend on what they did, but what they did manifests that they had faith. Look at Noah. When he heard about the warning, for over 120 days, he gave 120 years, gave himself to construct the ark. Sometimes I ask myself, how was Noah able to get them for his family? Yes, he was cooking for them, but he was still doing the will of God. When you think of Abraham, the Lord told him to live, and by faith he lived. See? We are told of Abel, the Lord told them to sacrifice, and he did the right thing because of faith. And Enoch, we are told, before he was taken out of the earth, he didn't die, but before he was taken, we are told that he pleased the Lord. And the next verse tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you see, all that we have to do has to do with faith. And faith is working. It's a working grace, and it has to grow. Faith does not lie dormant if it's genuine. And how does faith grow? Faith grows when it is working for the Lord. See? Faith grows when a believer is engaged in the things which are Christ. See? When we are engaged in the things of the Lord. We may be engaged in many, many other things. It may not grow our faith. We may undertake even to be like the one who maybe preserve a society or community, but if it is not for the sake of Christ, so that His truth and His glory will be known, our faith will not be built upon that. Our faith can never grow from that. So you say, all the Lord has given us, it might be very small, obedience might be very small, or great, but so long as it is for the Lord, I've said, and the believer wants to do it or give himself to that, the faith will grow. See, faith, as we know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Whether the promise, whether the command, whether counsel, whether warning, whatever it is, if that word of the Lord is taken, and we rest our hopes on that, and we act according to that, faith grows. That is what faith is about. Again, we know how people talk about faith nowadays. They talk about faith as if for how they describe faith, self-confident. I know faith has to always rest on something the Lord has said. And then, as I said, Christian service is a duty, and the more we give ourselves to that, the more our faith grows, and our joy in the Lord also enlarges. And one thing, that when faith grows, believers' faith grows, we are enabled to withstand doubt and fears. Doubt and fears, you see. Sometimes in the Christian life, we get to a point where Satan really throws so much fears on our way, or doubt about the things of the Lord. But then, as we are laboring for the Lord and our faith is growing, when this temptation comes to us, we are able to overcome it easily. It will not so much affect us. And this will strengthen our assurance of salvation, because doubt and fears are often thrown at us to make us doubt, even if we are even God's children, especially when we are falling into some sin, or when we have our life is full of so many distresses, and we don't seem to understand. But then when our faith is growing, in such times we will have that strength to overcome them, and this will strengthen our assurance of salvation. And this will make us more firm in the Lord and continue to be trusting in Him more. But if our faith is not growing, doubt and fears, when they come, Satan will try to overwhelm us. And our Christian life become troubled. And if our Christian life become troubled, it will be something that is so serious. Because how can we rejoice in the Lord when we don't trust Him? When we doubt His promises, when we are not even sure of the thing He says. But then, if our faith is growing, we will never come to that. So whenever those doubts and fears are thrown at us, we have that assurance to take them on, because we have really tasted and continue to taste such faithfulness of the Lord. And also, when Christians, believers in the local church, our faith grows and our joy also enlarges, this has a great impact on the church. And then the church will be willing to do many exploits, you see. And the church will be willing to undertake many things for the Lord. I mean, sometimes we think of churches in the States and other places that send missionaries, and they continue to send year after year. Why? Because they want to do exploits for the Lord. They send missionaries all over to spread the gospel. Why are they so concerned for that? Because they are concerned for the honor of Christ. And they delight and they take joy from the spread of the gospel. And this shows how their faith is great. You see, how their faith is growing and how their faith is firm. You see, so they will send missionaries and they will support them, and they will go to any place to proclaim the gospel and make sure that the work of the Lord is done. So, if faith is not growing and joy, our Christian joy is not also being enlarged, we cannot. So we need to grow our faith and enlarge our joy. And one of the means is when we get involved in the things of the Lord, the Christian service we are supposed to undertake. And then we are able to, each member, when we engage in it, we are able to bring to the body such a strength which the body needs to grow. Another aspect of our blessing when we engage in Christian service is that Christian service strengthens prayer life. When we are engaged in Christian service, our prayer life also strengthens. And I'm sure we know that prayer is the breath of spiritual life. If somebody says Christian and he has spiritual life, one of the things we see is prayer. It's a breath of spiritual life, both for the individual Christian and also for the church. If prayer is hindered, it affects our Christian life. And we know that Christian service enriches believers in their intercessions. You see, one of the things that Christian service does to prayer, that it enriches our intercessions. And how does it do, bring this enrichment to our prayer lives? We know that as we get involved in the work of the church, we all realize that there's a need for the Lord to bless the work. We know that what all that we can do and all the gifts we have, if the Lord does not bless the work, is vain. And this moves believers who are involved in the work to become more prayerful, you see, wishing for a mighty blessing. Because all the blessings we wish for the work without prayer is worthless. We can do, we can do so much without prayer, so that when we get into the, if we are not involved in the work, we may be praying for the work, but we will not be so much urgent as those who are truly involved in the work and see how the Lord must bless this work with a mighty blessing for His own glory. Because we are part. But if we are not part, we may pray for the blessing of the Lord on the work, but our intercession will not be so much strong as those who are involved. And so that this enriches our prayer life. We come before the Lord, either in our private or in the corporate prayer, we are able to pray meaningfully because we are part. So when we are ourselves, if it is a trouble, we have been troubled with the work. If there are some things that are affected, we are also affected, you see. And we are concerned that this work that we give our time to the Lord will bless it. So it helps our prayer life. It really strengthens up our prayer life very well. And this also, this part aspect of it, was an antidote against selfish prayers. Me and my only prayers, you see. When believers are not engaged in the service of the Lord, the temptation is that the prayer life most of the time becomes selfish. How the most important thing that we ought to pray about, we neglect it, because the main thing which must consider our prayer is the honor of Christ, His glory. The church of Jesus Christ must be the major thing of our prayer, even in our private intercessions, you see. But if we are not involved in the work, we may pray a little about that, and then the rest is me, myself, and all my troubles. It's good we bring our troubles before the Lord, but if we are active in Christian service, we really pray aright, because we bring matters as in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth," and that will be our major prayer. How the gospel will spread, how there will be such a blessing on the gospel that many will be awakened to the gospel, to the truth of the gospel, and that there will be more converts, and that the name of Christ will be known by many. And how in our generation the gospel will be our chief aim. And we pray for many people and bring them before the Lord, because we have spoken to many people. We are in the children ministry, we teach children, we get involved, and we bring these children before the Lord. You see, and we intercede on their behalf when we come before the Lord. So this enriches our prayer lives, you see. And if we are not involved in these things, we may pray. We may have sometimes people who pray generally about maybe the global church and their work. I know it is good to pray for them. But then if we are in the local church and we are involved in the work, we have specific things to pray about. And this enriches our prayer lives. And when these things are answered, we are helped, and it builds our faith also in the Lord. Another thing about Christian service is that it has also been often the means for believers to identify their gifts. Many Christians have identified their gifts through Christian service in their local churches. And this is a common experience in church history. If you read many of the missionaries and many of those who really give themselves the work of the church, they will tell you how they came to be so much concerned for the work of the Lord, because they were one way or the other involved in the work of the in their own churches or in the ministries there. And through this, they are gifted to identify them, they were able to improve upon it and then use it for the education of the church, to build, to help the church to grow. And many have become pastors through their involvement in children ministry. Many pastors will tell, begin the ministry from the children ministry. The teaching, then those up, the knowledge, those up, the gifts comes out, you see. And many have done many wonderful things because they started with their involvement in the ministries of the church. They gave themselves to Christian service, and they lived in their local church. And by the Lord Himself also brought out their own usefulness, where they could also go and seek and serve a larger part of the church. So it's helpful when we are involved. Our gifts, we may not be preachers, but we may be having a gift of probably being helpful to those in the hospitals, or those in the prisons, those in the the deaf, the orphanage. But if we are not involved in it, we may not see how we can be helpful. And when we are able to see how we are helpful, and we see how the gospel will go. You see, when all of us are involved in the church, each one of us will our gift to be identified. We may not all be preachers, we may not all be probably deacons or elders, but then we may be more useful probably to kind of work with the church, probably the work of mercy. Maybe we have such a gift, the Lord will give us a gift so that we can be so useful in that, you see. But if we are not involved, how do we see this useful thing with the church need? Another thing is also that when members commit themselves to Christian service, it enhances purity in the church. The church of Jesus Christ, the local church, must be pure, must have that purity in it. And this purity, I'm talking about that the church harboring that habit and conduct that are so pure in the eyes of the Lord, walking aright in the eyes of the Lord. And we know that this is true even of secular society. In every community, when most people in the community are busy, gainfully employed, they have less vices in the community. You go to communities where the youth and the working class, most of them are not working, you see, there's so much vice in those communities. And this is true also of community of believers, you see. The church is kept pure from unnecessary criticisms, complaints, and gossips when our minds and hands are busy daily in the work. You see, when each member is so much concerned with the work of the church, there's no room for no more time in church. You see, there will be party spirit and cliques and no. But if all of the members are involved in the work, there's no time for those things. You see, we are all concerned, we're all busy for the work of the church. We don't have time. Even in our private, when we are thinking about the church, we don't have time to think about what somebody did or somebody didn't do. Our concern is how the work will continue. See, our concern will be much on that. Our minds and our hands will be busy daily in the work, in the church work. And also, when we are all concerned with the work and we are involved in it, there will be that effort of members to keep the church pure from errors, doctrinal errors, and practical errors, because we are all concerned. We want the church to stand firm and continue. So we wouldn't, no member will stand there that the church will compromise on things. We are all ever guarding, the things of the church so that we continue as faithful. Remember Nehemiah and those who labored to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem? You know, those who were working, they were so willing to defend because they were doing their work. So we're told that those who were working, they were having what their thrower or whatever, and also a weapon. See, and they built, they are also defended. So they were so alert that they didn't want the enemies to intrude. They were working, you see, and they didn't want anybody to come and destroy the work that they give themselves to. And so they went and they defended. So the same thing, those who are concerned with the work of the church are those always who will not stand for errors to creep in the church. They are always alive. And that is for the safety of the church. You see, many churches have gone down. I mean, we know many churches that were sound. How did they go down? Members were not concerned. You see, well, let things run. They come to worship, they go home. That's it. And by and by, those with false teachers, they came in. And by the time they realized, oh, we don't like pattern, it has come to stay. But if the members were active and everybody is concerned about the church work, where would that person be? Because we know that the fishing, we are compacted in that connection, so that there's no room for falsehood. See, it will be detected very soon. Because all members are alive and we are all aware, so we are all guarded. You see? So that's the term of Paul uses. For whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You are watching out, I am watching out, somebody also is watching out. Where will the intrusion come from? You see? But if most of us are asleep and a few are working, but I realize error has taken root somewhere, to be unchecked, and the church will go down. And all that we want the church to stand for wouldn't be. So you see, members of the church are to be active, and this will be so much help for the church. We ought to engage in the things of the Lord, and the more we are engaged in, the more vigilant we are against errors. You see? And that becomes our burden. Not only, you see, that we will not just be concerned with just working. We are sure the work is being as the Lord wants it to be. We don't just want to just labor. We want to make sure that all that we do is in accordance to the standards which Scripture has given us. Another aspect of the blessings of Christian service is also that it enhances unity and peace in the church. It promotes peace and unity in the church. Often, church will say, oh, we want peace and unity. And this is one of the means to develop peace and unity and to maintain it, to grow. I'm sure we know that in secular life, people who are pursuing and working towards the same goal in every employment, these people will easily realize the need for harmony. Teamwork. If there is no harmony, their goals will not be achieved. Every people working on project, company, whatever, they are concerned that there must be that harmony so that we can achieve that work. I just read the news about North Korea. I think they were trying to finish a project so that I think they have every year they have a time to the president bring out a project and he try to tell the nation how they are advancing. And I think we are told that he fired one of his premiers. Why? Because he said that the premier was like a goat pulling an ox burden. It's like he was not able to perform. And that the work probably has to bring somebody to work, you see. So that kind of their goal was not achieved. And that reminds us of if we are desiring for peace and harmony, then we ought to really work, not that so that we work at the point that we just leave it. And then we leave it for a few people, then the work doesn't go on. But rather, we have that harmony, we have that togetherness, and that this can be brought about when we are all working. When we are all concerned with the work, when we are all giving our time and resources for the work, and then we ourselves are getting involved. This we can achieve, that peace and unity, if we have that mind to pursue it, we can achieve it. Because as I give the scenario, those in the secular world, they, when they want to achieve a goal, they all, those in the dark group, try to give themselves to that, you see. And the same thing, when we give ourselves to Christian service and we are all involved in the church work, the unity and peace of the church is achieved. Well, one of the things we have to grow and also maintain is brotherly love. Brotherly love. Brotherly love. How is it going to be maintained and grow? It will come only when we are all involved in the work. You see, the last part of our verse says that make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, all that the church is doing, whether for edification, for the work we do, we have to build that brotherly love among us. So, first love for God so that we consent to Him, but then for the church, brotherly love. So that we grow in love. You see, we cherish that. And how can that be? Unity and peace will come under the brotherly love. And how can we have that brotherly love except we are all involved in the same thing and we are concerned with the work of the church? And you know one thing that enhances brotherly love? As we work together, we acknowledge our weaknesses and also our need for the Lord's help. And with this patience, we realize that we all need patience to bear with each other's burden. We see that we don't need so much of criticism, but we need so much of what? Patience to bear with each other. But if we don't work together, how can that be? You see, we don't even know others, their weaknesses, we don't know their struggles, but as we work together as a church, we realize this and we see how we can even bear each other in prayer. How we can bear each other, maybe with helps and whatever we need to help them with. And so that each, the suffering of one is the suffering of all. As Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 26 to 27, says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular, you see. So that when one suffers, we all suffer. When there's honor, it is for the whole church. Again, this also works against that kind of individual distinctiveness. For me, I'm able to do this. And no, when we see a team score, I mean, these football teams are scoring a goal. No, one person scored it, but somebody has to pass it over, and then he scores. So that when the team wins, you don't say that he scores or he won. No, but it's the whole team that have won. So the same way, the body of believers, when we are making, the church is making progress, we are all. When we are progressing, we are all. So it comes to the point that we are aware of what is happening. Is there suffering? We are aware of it. Is there rejoicing? We are all aware of it. So that not in some churches, there's so much division that some people, we don't know what's happening in the church. I mean, some people may, well, you see. But then if we are all involved in the church, we are all aware of what is happening. We are all concerned what is happening, and we are all, probably whether with patience or with kind of concern, help the church to be able to be how the Lord wants it to be. And also, we know that often members who are not concerned for peace in the church are those who do less or nothing in the church. See, that's how practice, often that's what happens. Members who don't care for the members who that when there's something they are so eager and so like they rush so that things will be probably there's kind of disagreement and they don't care about those disagreements, they just want to carry their own ideas and all that and they don't care what others think about. Most of these such members don't do nothing for the church. This has to come from those who do less or nothing in the church. But those who are really concerned with the church, they are very careful about the thing that brings hindrances or obstacles in the church. So they are ever willing to rather work out in a way that there will be quietness, so that if there are troubles, we solve it in a way that will be honoring to the Lord. We don't just spill out. It's like we are in a group and things are not going on well, we just throw everything out and we just leave them with us. If we are working, if we are part of those working, we wouldn't do that. When they are with their issues, we want it to be addressed in a proper way, so that the church will still continue. Because if the things are not addressed in a proper way and the church gets disorganized, what do we get from it? Normally those who do nothing or less thing for the church, they don't care about that, you see. But those who are concerned with the work of the church, they are careful how things in the church are handled. They are always looking for that solution that will rather bring all the church together to focus on the work which the church has been engaged in. And that is developing us when we are involved in the work of the church. It will always be upon our heart to make sure that we enhance harmony and peace. And I think my time is gone. My last point, the last thing I want to talk about, that when members are faithful in Christian service, the church becomes alive spiritually. You see, do you know why many of maybe churches like Reformed churches, maybe someone says, the church is not, there's no kind of liveliness in the church. It's mostly because there isn't so much commitment to Christian service. Christian service is the life of the church. You see? And this one helps the church to be lively spiritually. Because members who are faithful in Christian service don't easily backslide. When we talk of backsliding, believers backslide, members who are active and who are faithful in Christian service don't easily backslide. To become cold and somehow indifferent to spiritual things, how does it begin? It begins from a kind of temptation. You see, the devil will try to see that you are idle, and we know that he said that the devil finds work for the idle hand. It is true, spiritual life. If I'm a Christian and I seem to be not so much full of the things of the Lord, the devil will find something for me to do, and it will derail my Christian life. You see, my liveliness will be brought down. Let's remember David. David fell into sin of idolatry. While the army were fighting, Joab and all the army of Israel were fighting, and he was relaxing in the house. Laziness, you see. He was relaxing a little in the house while his comrades were on the battleground. And we see what happened to him, you see. And sometimes in the Christian service, if we are not careful, laziness will cause us to become less effective, and then the devil gets us. Demas forsook Christian service. Why? Because he thought the world has better things for him. So there are challenges to Christian service. It could be laziness, it could be worldliness, or many other things. But if we are ever, we don't give room for relaxation, and sometimes we know that it demands so much time and commitment, but it's rather healthy to the spiritual life. You see, Christian service, if we are committed to that, it secures us from so much temptations and so much troubles that can easily affect our spiritual life. So, as we are thinking of Christian service, let us think of things that hinder Christian service. And as I said, I just gave two examples. David was relaxing. He wanted to have some time off, and probably, you know, David was a very valiant man. He wasn't a lazy person. But then I gave this example because it was like a time of he just wanted to maybe relax a little. You see, he wasn't a lazy person, but it's a picture of somebody who gets involved in the things of the Lord, and then he just wants to relax a while. Probably he thinks he has done too much. No, we don't do too much for the Lord, as long as He gives us life and strength. So let us watch against these evils of this hindrance that First Christian service. Also, let's remember Demas. He was with Apostle Paul. He forsook Apostle Paul, and of course, he loved the world. The things of this life can obstruct our Christian service. It could be anywhere. It could be our own work. It could be family matters. It could be whatever. But if we are watchful, we will always see where the dangers are coming from. So, friends, consistent Christian service of each member secures the church from spiritual decay. Because when one is cold, another is cold, and somebody is affected by worldliness, somebody wants to relax, by and by, there will be no liveliness in the church. And then, would we complain? No, we don't complain. You see, but if we are all active, there will be that kind of liveliness in the church. And then matters of the church becomes our chief concern, each one of us. And then the zeal of the Lord's house will consume us as our Lord. See, the Lord said, the zeal of thy house has consumed me. This is the only way the church will be lively. When each one of us is so zealous for the Lord, love and zealous for the Lord is increasing each and every time. As we are advancing in our fiscal years, then we are also growing in our more usefulness to the Lord. This will bring liveliness to the church. And that's how the Lord wants his church to be. So that each member, as Apostle Paul describes here, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So that the purpose of Christ will be achieved. So may it be our prayer that the Lord will grant us grace, and that we keep a lively church. Then each one of us will be faithful, will faithfully commit ourselves to the work, so the church will grow, and that we will also realize these blessings on ourselves and on the church, and that the honor of the Lord will be seen, the glory of Christ will be the banner of the church, because the church is ever seeking to serve him and to honor him. May the Lord help us as we think about these things.